Good morning, everyone. It is a blessing to be back here. We've been here once before, I think it was about 2 years ago, and we've been looking forward to this time, and I pray that as we worship the Lord this morning, He may be glorified, and that also we may be edified. I'd like to, first of all, just again express deep gratitude to the Lord for the partnership that He has established between our two churches, the work that we're doing in Stephenville, as Scott was mentioning, is a church planting work, which started in 2023. We started Lighthouse Community Church there, mainly working with college students, and we've seen the Lord do some amazing things over the years. And we have a number of people who support us, but you are our greatest supporters in terms of prayer, finances, and encouragement. And so that is just a special gift to us. And this is the first time we have left and the ministry is going on just as normal. What I mean is today, this morning, just before we started the service, I got a picture of our congregation gathered together in worship. Last time we were here, we had to close church because I was in there. But that means God has brought people, and He's raising people who are now being trained and being able to lead worship. And that is our long-term goal, that those whom God is bringing will grow and also become leaders in the church, and that one day Lighthouse will also be planting other churches elsewhere. We have a number of college students. In fact, the guy who was preaching this morning, his name is Colton. He's a college student. We met him about 2 years ago. He grew up in a home. His mother was a Jehovah Witness and didn't really understand much the gospel, but the Lord met him about 2 years ago just as he was reading scripture through some friends. 2 Corinthians 5:17 was really used by God to bring him to faith. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. And we've seen him grow over the past couple years. Last year, when school was starting, he volunteered to start a Bible study to minister to his fellow college students. And he said, sure, we'll encourage you. So they were meeting at the church. They just finished the school year. And I asked him last week, hey, I'm going to be away. Do you think you could lead the service? And he was ready to do it. And so, and then this evening, we have an evening service as well. One of our other guys as well is going to be preaching at the evening service. So God is doing amazing things. And your prayers mean a lot to us. And I want to just encourage you to continue praying for us. And if you are able, come and visit us in Stephenville. My family and I would love to host you and to show you around Stephenville, but also for you to experience what the church is like there, what God is doing there. So thank you all very much for your blessings to us, your support, your financial support, your prayers. And I pray that tonight, this morning, as we look to the Word of God, we may all be encouraged. Thank you, Pastor Dieter, for the opportunity to preach. Somebody at the beginning of the service said, oh, Fletcher's going to preach a short sermon today. And I said, well, you know, I'm short, so I have to compensate for my height, so I'm going to preach a long sermon. All right, please turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 20, what we're going to do is I'll spend the first 10 minutes of the service reading Habakkuk. We'll start actually in verse chapter 1 to chapter 3. How many of you have read Habakkuk in the last year? In the last half a year? Last 6 months? Last 3 months? Last month, okay. All right, so let's going to be reminded here. And here, Habakkuk chapter 1 is where we'll start. As you're turning there, I was reminded of a song that I think many of you will be familiar with. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Do you remember that chorus from years ago? When it goes something like, we have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. And then it goes on to say, so forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. There's a third stanza. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Just I think a helpful reminder to all of us, right? We have come into his house. We're gathered in his name to worship him. Amen? Amen? Amen. So forget yourself and forget the lunch <from it. laughs> and concentrate on him and worship him. Lift up holy hands, lift up holy hearts, lift up holy voices as we worship the Lord. So I'll pray for us and then we'll read and get into the message. Let's pray. Indeed, O Lord our God, we are gathered here in your house, gathered in your name to worship you. That is the only reason we are here, to worship your name, to worship Christ, our Lord. So help us, Lord, to forget about ourselves, to forget all of our struggles, all of our pains, all of our failures, all of our sins, and focus on Christ. Concentrate our minds on him, Christ, our Lord. We lift up our hearts to you, Lord, in worship and adoration, because you are worthy of our praise. Stir our hearts to worship you this morning. Unite our hearts to fear you, we pray. And may your name be magnified in everything that we do. May Christ be precious to us above everything else. Forgive us, O God, our many sins, and help us to listen with ears of faith, to receive your word with faith and love, to lay it up on our hearts and to practice it in our lives. Thank you that you are here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I'll spend the first 10 minutes just reading the book, and then we'll take a few minutes to look at Habakkuk 2, verse 20. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations, and see, wonder, and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome, their justice and dignity to go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. Are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you look idly? Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury, and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly kill nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. What I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own people, as his own all peoples. Shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say, woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. For how long? And loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise and those awake who will make you tremble? Then you will be spoil for them. Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the peoples shall plunder you for the blood of man and violence of the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life, for the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the woodwork respond. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, is it not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire, and nations weary themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. The cup is in the Lord's right hand. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter shame will come upon your glory. The violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, as will the destruction of the beasts that terrified them. For the blood of man and violence to earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it, a metal image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake, to a silent stone, arise. Can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to the Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light, rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Behold him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea? When you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation, you stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The earth saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon still in their place. At the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear, you marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of the mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, no fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. God, he makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Amen. At least when you go home today, you can somebody asks you, what did you do at church? You can say, we read Habakkuk chapter 1 to 3. What do you do in a moment of crisis? That's a question we're going to try to answer today. What are we as God's people to do in moments of crisis? We all face various kinds of crisis in our lives. When I was a little boy, my mom would always say, wait until you get older. You'll face crisis in your life. Because when you're young, often, you think life just goes on normal. Everything is hunky-dory, and there's no trouble. But you don't have to live very long to realize that this world is full of troubles, full of trials, full of pain, because we live in a fallen world. Adam ruined it for all of us. And now we bear the consequences of that. And we have questions in those times, and it's okay to ask those questions to the Lord, to bring your questions in those moments of crisis to God. God can handle those questions. He's big enough to handle your deepest questions. You may have those questions tonight, this morning, perhaps as you're going through a crisis, or you think of a friend who is going through a crisis. We've just been talking about those who've passed on, have left us, and they've left behind families who are wondering, what do we do now? How do we move on? You may be battling a health situation right now, and you don't really know how things are going to shake out. We all live with some kind of uncertainty about our futures. Habakkuk was in a situation like that, and he had questions for God. In the moment of crisis for Habakkuk, he looked around and he had questions for God. Why Do you let this go on? For how long are we going to have to bear with this? Why do you use the people that are so wicked, more wicked than your own people, to punish them? Habakkuk, as a prophet of God, also functions in many ways as a priest. A prophet speaks to people for God, but Habakkuk also spoke to the Lord for the people with his questions. The beginning of the book tells us this is the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. In other words, he received this revelation from the Lord. But then he begins with a complaint. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? This was his experience. He felt like the Lord was not hearing his complaint. For how long shall I cry to you, violence, and you will not save? In other words, Lord, it seems like you're doing nothing. You don't care. Have you ever felt like that? There are times, if we're honest, where it just seems like, I don't know where the Lord is. I don't know if the Lord cares. My prayers seem to be hitting the ceiling. I can't seem to get through to the Lord. Well, you're not alone in that experience. Habakkuk and many others, if you read the Psalms, you hear the same kinds of questions. Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. He says, the unrighteous seem to just have it all fine. They're having a great time oppressing the righteous, taking advantage of the righteous. And he asked another question. Your eyes, he says, your eyes are too pure to look upon evil. Now, what does he mean when he says that? Well, the Lord looks at evil every day, doesn't he? He sees everything. What Habakkuk is saying here is, Lord, you are too holy to look upon evil and do nothing about it. But right now, it seems like you are doing nothing about the evils in my experience among your people. What's going on? What is your deepest question right now? If God were to come to you and say, what's your deepest question? What are you wrestling with the most? What would you say? Whatever it is, ask him. Bring it to him. He can handle it. He wants to answer your prayers. Because contrary to what Habakkuk is saying and feeling and experiencing himself, God actually hears the prayers, the cries of his people. Amen? God sees, God knows, and God hears. You look at Exodus chapter 3. In that chapter, God speaks to Moses and he says, I have heard the cries of my people and I've come down to rescue them. So yes, we may feel like God doesn't hear, but the truth of the matter is God hears the cries of his people. And that should be an encouragement for us to call on him in the moment of trouble. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of distress. Amen. So if you are in that situation right now, you're in the dumps, as it were, cry out to him. He will hear your cry. He's that kind of God. He delights not only to hear the cries of his people, but to answer them and to rescue his people. Martin Luther wrote that hymn, we often sing, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Do you know that hymn? I want to just read. Why are you laughing? Martin Luther wrote that hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. It's in one of your books that you have in the pews, number 53. I'll just read the words. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to walk us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, brother. One of the things you can do in those times when your faith is being shaken, when everything around you seems to give way, and you are asking these questions and don't seem to have answers, get a good hymnal and sing God's truth. Encourage your heart in the Lord. Remind yourself of who God is. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But I just wanted to begin with that. As we go through life, especially as Christians, we are the devil's prime targets. And he's going to come at us through different ways. Trouble in the family, financial loss, health struggles, you name it. But when we come to God, he gives us a different perspective on our situation. And we can move on with confidence. And that is what I pray will be true for each one of us every day, that we'll grow in our confidence in God, because he is on his throne. Amen? God is on the throne. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. How did the Lord respond when Habakkuk came to him with a question? He said, wait. In fact, the situation you see, you think it's bad, it's going to get worse. I'm raising up the Babylonians, this strong army. They're going to come and basically raise everything down. You don't want to mess with Babylon. Their military power was unmatched, very much like the U.S. today. And we, you know, it's been interesting in many ways to just see what is happening on the political scene, to hear President Trump, the commander-in-chief, when he says, don't mess with me, don't mess with him. We've seen what has happened with Iran. We've seen what happened with the president of Venezuela, is it? One who was brought back, you know, he didn't expect that would happen to him. Don't mess with President Trump. Well, don't mess with Babylon. And God says, I'm going to raise up Babylon and they're going to come after you. Why? And Habakkuk doesn't understand. Okay, I understand, Lord, we have sinned against you. Have mercy. But why would you choose to punish us by using a people more corrupt than we are? What's the answer to that? He is God. He is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. The people had been playing God and playing with God in their sin. And God wants to send a strong message to them. Don't play God and don't play with God. Sometimes we do that. We play God in our lives. We say we become a God to ourselves. We do whatever we want to do, as if God doesn't care. We play with God. See, God is no respecter of persons. And he will discipline and punish even his own people. He loves us too much to keep us in our sin. And he will use whatever measures he chooses, he sees fit, to wake us up to the reality that there is only one God and we're not him. That we live our lives before God. He sees and knows everything. And as his people, he wants us to live in a life of worship and submission to him. Habakkuk did not expect that answer. But that is the answer that came. When you call on God, be prepared to receive whatever answer he has for you. He may have to strip you of everything you have, every idol in your life, everything that you have been leaning on that has kept you from God. Because he loves you. It hurts. It's painful. But it's the best thing ever. And in those times of pain and suffering, the Lord works in a mysterious way to bring us closer to him. How many of you have heard of the man named William Cowper? He wrote a hymn. It's also You got it. He wrote a hymn. If you have this book anywhere near you, it's number 8 in your book. Number 88. It's one of my favorite hymns, and I want to draw your attention to what he says here. God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. And this is one of my favorite lines in this hymn. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. When you don't understand what is going on, just trust in him. And that's what Habakkuk did. He says at the beginning of chapter 2, I'll take my stand at my watch post and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he, God, will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. He starts with a complaint, God responds, and then he says, okay, zip my mouth. I'm just going to wait and see what he will do. That's the best thing we need to do, but one of the hardest things to do. When you're in that hoarding pattern, when the answer is not really there, you have not really come through the problem. That is the hardest place to be, but the best place to be. Those who wait upon the Lord, the Bible tells us, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. God works for those who wait for him. So if you find yourself in that spot, wait for him. Wait in faith. Trust him. His answer will surely come. His deliverance will surely come. Let me skip forward to verse 20 of chapter 2. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let the whole earth be silent before him. And that is a turning point in the book. Those who have studied this book, sometimes I used to think that Habakkuk 2 verse 4 is a key theme or theme verse in this book. But I think 2:20 is. Habakkuk 2:4 says the just shall live by faith, and that's an important one. Martin Luther talked about that in Romans chapter 5. Romans 1 verse 17 talks about that. The Apostle Paul writing that. And God used that many in the time of the Reformation to bring about the Protestant Reformation. The just shall live by faith. But that is only true because of Habakkuk 2 verse 20. The Lord is in his holy temple. He is the one we need to trust. Because it's not our faith that saves him, but it's the object of our faith. We are saved by the fact that we put our faith in him. Not just because we have faith, but because our faith is in him. And he is in his holy temple. Why is that significant? Well, go back. Everything seems to be chaotic. Everything around Habakkuk is going crazy. Where is the Lord in this? He's in his holy temple, unmoved, unshaken. When everything around us is shaking, there's a place of quiet rest in the presence of God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they're safe. When everything around you is shaking, storms are raging, God is where He's always been, in His temple, in His holy temple. And because of that, He says, let all the earth keep silence before Him. Talking of silence, I know some people for whom silence is such a threatening thing. They can't keep quiet. They get really nervous when everything is quiet. Anybody here identify with that? I know John does. But how we need to be silent before God, to be still and know that He is God. Amen? That means we need to be intentional about these things. Because it's in the stillness, in our stillness with God, that we really begin to understand His purposes. We engage with Him. We grow in intimacy with Him. We begin to understand His purposes. And we can hear His voice. We need to learn to be still before God. That may mean putting this away for some time. Turn off Facebook. Turn off YouTube. Turn off your emails and your text messages. Just be still from the Lord. Sometimes many times you have to literally, physically isolate yourself from crowds. You live in the beautiful beautiful part of the country, in the mountains. Go to the mountains for a few hours and just spend time with the Lord, with your Bible. Let Him feed your soul. Let Him encourage you. Let Him build you up. And then you can come down there with a completely different perspective. Joy in your heart. And you can face whatever it is that comes your way with such confidence. Because you've taken the time to be with Him. Or it might mean you wake up a little bit early in the morning. Spend an hour or so. Be silent before Him. When was the last time you actually intentionally took the time to just be still and silent before God? We're very quick to talk to God. But we're very poor sometimes at listening to God and being still. I've noticed in America, you guys are very, very active. You like to do things and make things happen. That's wonderful. It's a wonderful trait. I wish I had more of that. But sometimes, because of that drive, it's very easy to forget that there's a God in heaven who rules and reigns over all the earth. That He wants you to remember that you are not God, He is. When you find yourself in a pickle, don't take matters in your own hands. Roll everything over to Him. Be still once in a while and trust Him. I said this is a turning point. Do you see what happens in the next chapter? Especially the way the chapter concludes, chapter 3 concludes. I don't have time to go through all the other details. But look at how Habakkuk chapter 3 ends. Very different from how it began. There's a complaint, confusion, there's a crisis. Habakkuk doesn't know what to do. But as the Lord has been working with him, and he's been silent before Him, this is what he says. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fell, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Take everything away from me. I have Jesus. He is enough. Can you say that? My health is failing, but even as my outer body is wasting away, I'm being renewed in the inner man. And I realize that this light and momentary affliction is working for me an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. Because my eyes are on the Lord and not on the things that are around me. Where are you looking today? What is the source of your joy this morning? I hope and pray you're looking to the Lord and that He is the source of your joy. Final question, how is this possible? How do these things change so quickly? For us, how do we relate to all of this? How can we be joyful in the moments of crisis and stand before God and His presence, knowing who we are, sinful people, or because we have one who mediates for us, and that is Jesus Christ, who is also our prophet, He's also our priest, and He's also our king. He's our prophet who brings God's word to us, reveals to us the will of God. He's our priest who once for all gave Himself to be on our behalf to satisfy God's divine justice and bring us to a place of reconciliation with God, and who continues to make intercession for us day by day. That is why our prayers are heard. When we cry out to God, those prayers, Christ takes them and makes them intelligible before the Father. We are heard. His prayers are always heard. But we also realize He's our King who rules over us, and He defends us from all His enemies and from all our enemies. And therefore, I can rejoice in the storm. I can rejoice when everything is looking crazy in my life, because I have Him on my side. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is for me. And Romans says, Romans 8, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer is no one. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not freely give us all things? You don't get there by spending hours on Facebook. You get there by being still before God and let Him speak to your heart. So may I give you a challenge for this week? Maybe why don't you, this week, this is going to be a hard one for some of you, put your phone away. Maybe for one morning, get up in the morning, just don't look at your phone. Can you do that? And then use that time to spend in the Word with the Lord. So I'm not just saying cut off the phone, do that, but instead do this. See what happens. Do that every day, Monday to Friday, Monday to Saturday, and come back Sunday and tell Pastor Dieter how the Lord has spoken to you. Anyway, whatever you need to do, do it. Spend time with the Lord. Be silent before Him and let Him feed your soul and give you a divine perspective on your situation and stoke up the fires of joy in Christ. Then you can go out there and tell the world, taste and see that God is good. Let's pray. Lord, You are in Your holy temple. Teach us to be silent before You. In Jesus' name, amen.